Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 73, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Yvonne Flo. Woo-hoo. On the road like Jack O'Brien. Oh, he don't know. That is courtesy of Hannah Soltis, complete with the mumble lyrics. Thank you, Hannah, for looking into what the lyrics for that song actually are. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Mr. Take Miles' Breath of Gray. Dun, dun, dun.
I think that's Berlin, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. Thank you to Hannah Soltis for that one also. Wow, double.
I got
up.
It once you started doing the synths.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, that's the only part I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that song, man, when I was a kid, I really didn't even know the words to that, but I loved it.
Mm.
Now I'm glad I got to talk about it. So thank you, Hannah Soltis, at Soltis Hannah. You did the double today.
I feel like that was like one of the early days of VH1 songs. That like
VH1.
Takes me back.
You mean VH1 like when we were old enough and we were like, that's where the lame shit is at and
yeah.
The cool shit's on MTV?
On MTV.
Right.
And those were the videos that my parents watched.
Right, right, exactly.
And they had, yeah.
And like, what the fuck?
That's where you watched Elton, where you got to see what Elton John looked like for the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck is ZZ Top?
Right.
I'm like, yo, no
yo,
thank
ZZ
you.
ZZ Top was on MTV too.
Yeah, and yeah, but then like after, but you know what I mean? Like when MTV stopped playing music videos.
Yeah,
and
I'm talking way back.
Hey, respect
the red
is
and black
ZZ
lumberjacks.
Top.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny comedian joining us all the way from New York here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Sydney Washington.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
What's up?
I love that VH1 drag.
Yeah.
Do
I
it.
Mean, but the funny thing is now I usually watch exclusively VH1 reality garbage shows.
Yeah. Watch how me. Did that become their lane?
Yeah. That's see so how quickly funny. I'm talking about Cartel Crew.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It's kind of like when you're the nerd in high school.
Right.
And then you get older, you're like, I'm going to do the complete
yeah.
opposite.
Yeah.
That's what VH1 is
yeah.
now.
And there's
like,
VH1 Soul, too.
They're
I'll
overcompensating.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we're going to
be pulling wigs off and throwing martinis.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're basically trashier MTV, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, MTV has like its shows, but. I like, you know, they're holding it down for people who want to get messy. You know what's going on in the Atlanta hip-hop world.
Right, right,
LA
right.
hip-hop world, the scene of basketball spouses.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Black Ink, you know, if you want to know about problem. Very chaotic, dramatic tattoo studios.
Mm-hmm.
And also the offspring of drug traffickers.
Yeah.
Which is Cartel Crew. That
yeah,
show is
straight up
fucking absurd.
Crime
VH1
families.
Gives you range.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
seriously,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Brett Michaels.
Oh, see, but that actually was peak VH1.
That was.
When there was Flavor of Love
that was
and Rock of Love.
For a very brief moment, they knew exactly what they were.
Yeah, there'll never be another show like Flavor of Love.
Oh, no.
Never.
That's why I go back on Hulu. Why am I rewatching that shit like it's The Office?
Oh, because it was real content.
Yeah, it really was.
It was like, art?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I would say it's better than The Real World.
Oh, yeah.
Just throw it out there.
And you got to read for people. I was like, you know what? I think Peaches is a good person deep down.
Yeah, the real world, like, the real world is like oatmeal now. Like, trying to watch The Real World is just like.
What's on Facebook now?
Yeah.
And I don't even.
Blah. Very
boring. Get
me
to watch Facebook.
Yeah. All right. Sydney, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. It was a big news day yesterday. A lot of wild stories going down. We're going to talk about the fact that Europe cares about their citizens more than us. We're going to talk about Bibles for Millennials. They're super lit. We're going to talk about how Trump gets down on the golf course. We're going to talk about the admission scam to end all admission scams. This is so delicious for me. I love it. We're going to talk about Biden. We're going to talk about all sorts of shit today. But first, Sydney, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
My search history, urns. I'm searching for urns right now.
Urns?
Yeah.
Someone passed away?
Yeah. No, for myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm just, that's where I am in my life. Where I want to see how much they cost.
Right.
If I get one like on sale, yeah. I'm like, Amazon, what's good? If I could get a Groupon Earn, that's what I'm looking at right now.
I don't see you as a Groupon Earn type person.
Actually, that is really
that's
me.
That's on brand
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, I would want an urn that looks nice, but is really cheap.
Right,
I'm
right,
actually
yeah.
just trying to get a cocktail shaker and make it as an urn.
Oh.
If you could bedazzle a cocktail shaker, make it an urn.
Is that your brand?
That's my brand.
Your remains should be interned into a urn that is a cocktail shaker.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I used to be a waitress for 10 years, so okay. honestly, it's very on brand.
Now, do you do the shake above the shoulder? Like Ooh. Over the shoulder? Like...
Actually, that is the corniest bartender ever,
right,
so
right.
no. I'm
okay,
more
good.
About the like mixologist oh. that like you know stirs.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
good,
yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank Wait, you. You know me. You
yeah,
get
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
You vibe with
What's
me.
Your cocktail of choice? Do you drink?
I'm sober.
Okay. That's why I should ask the first part first. Do
yes.
you drink? No. When you used to.
When I used to, my favorite cocktail was free. Whatever is free, I'm in for it.
All right. I like that.
Cocktail yeah. shakers, like, I kind of fuck with cocktail shakers now, even though I'm also sober, because
oh,
they you put ice in there mm-hmm. and you shake that shit up and it, like, gets your drink cold in, like, 5 seconds.
It's
Wait,
beautiful.
Are you drinking other things with the cocktail shaker?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we still got cocktail
Wait,
shakers
what are
in
you,
our house.
Wait, but what are you?
If I have to get, like, a drink cold, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, anything.
Not soda, obviously. You can't shake
yeah.
that
no,
shit up.
Not soda.
No, not soda. I guess water, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Just get the ice water really cold.
Wow.
It's usually for my son. My son wants water, like, cold really quick. I just...
I like
you're the coolest and corniest dad ever.
Yeah,
I go over the shoulder, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To, I'm sorry.
I'm
to
gonna call
that,
CPS.
So
when they look through the window, you look like you're pouring your kid a martini. You're like, and there you go.
He does drink it out of a martini glass, which is the like literally, I couldn't even handle a martini glass without spilling. Try and give it to a 2-year-old; that shit wouldn't even make it to his mouth.
The so, more you know. Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Tips.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated humidifiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need them. You need them. It's, first of all, in the wintertime, I don't know how y'all do in LA, but it gets really, really dry in
mm-hmm.
New York, and they got the project heat from the radiators, and it just sucks out all the moisture. And after a certain age, your skin don't bounce back. It don't
yeah.
have the elasticity that you need. So I just want all my beige people out there to have humidifiers so they don't age like Steve Buscemi. That's what I'm trying
oh,
to do.
Oh, shit.
I'm just trying to help everybody
yeah.
out.
Yeah,
right, right.
Man, I should use a humidifier more.
Yeah, you should.
I'm relying on that now.
Even in LA,
flow.
You need it.
Yeah, well,
to be
it's a desert here.
Yeah, yeah. It's very
Recently,
dry.
Though, because of the like all the moisture that's been raining a lot,
yeah.
I haven't felt as dried out, but yeah, there are times when
don't skip it, man.
Yeah,
I know you guys are all healthy here, and you walk everywhere. And you got
me.
your juices.
We don't
and
walk
your...
anywhere.
Oh,
we're like on some Wally shit,
right?
We
are
like speaking of like these yeah. like recliners.
Bird
that take
scooters
us to work.
Were invented for Los Angeles.
Oh, you just lazy folks.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah,
would
yeah,
be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
But like people in LA do wear athleisure gear everywhere,
yes.
and
yes.
like they are about that lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
but we don't walk.
Yeah, and you dabbled, right? I saw on your Twitter, you came out to LA, you did the LA thing, you went to Runyon Canyon.
Ooh.
That is overrated. Fuck mm-hmm. all that. Like, I did it for the photo, but like, honestly, it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's,
who took you?
Two friends that live here,
okay.
and then I had two friends who live in New York who did it, and it really just pushed me to the edge. I was like, I am not an athletic person. This is not for me. I don't want to die on a rock. This is too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the photo.
Oh, the photo was perfect.
besides Runyon Canyon, what is something you think is overrated?
Dragging the Kardashians.
Okay.
It's getting played out now.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, I get it. They're not contributing to society. But the people who are contributing to society, do we want to talk about them either? No. Like, everything
right.
is just, it's just oversaturated and it's just drawn out now.
Yeah, and I've noticed that a lot of people, and this includes us, were dragging Kylie for, you know, claiming to be a self-made billionaire. But, like, no billionaires are self-made. Like, none of them are
exactly.
self-made.
Oprah.
Like, we're okay with...
Oprah.
Oprah is self-made and a billionaire. And
one of the few.
Right.
Yeah, that's what
but
I'm saying.
You
they're
really
they're
don't get a lot of them.
But
and
also...
a lot of people are celebrated, and there's a lot of white dudes in the self-help section
yes.
and the business section
Drag
who
them.
Are all about, you know, telling their life story and just deleting the fact that they got $1 billion
yeah.
on their 21st
It always
21st
starts
birthday.
After they graduated college.
Right. Yeah,
yes.
exactly.
From Princeton, right. Mind you. Yeah.
Right. And we're going to talk about how they got into Princeton a little later.
And also, just because you're born into wealth doesn't mean you'll invest and do what you need to do. She could have been at the Kardashians and then just be Rob. So right. Let's right. keep it real now.
Yeah.
Rob is in the same family. What he doing?
Where's Brody Jenner? Yeah. Where's that smoke for Brody Jenner?
That's right. Wasn't he on the Hills?
Yes.
Oh!
Our first introduction to that family.
Drag him.
Where are you, Brody? You know Brody's like, I don't need all that.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying Rob's sock company didn't make $1 billion?
Oh, my God.
Oh, he had a sock company?
Yeah, that was the first thing that I remember one of the Kardashian kids launching.
Like, or I'm sure Chris was like, you need something, Rob.
Yeah.
How about socks? But, socks.
Yeah.
Is he a DJ now?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
I feel like that's the next thing.
Yeah, unless going on live and being like, and eating on live as a DJ then.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get what you mean. Like, there's no value in pointing out how valueless the Kardashians mm-hmm. are, for sure. I think it's because, like, for the reason you say, like, the people who are worthwhile, they're sort of not the fodder like the Kardashians are, where people are meant to be like, what are they up to? What's that? Oh, I can't stand them. And then, however, when you look at Kim Kardashian, however you want to judge her, she's actually kind of trying to do some shit, which
is
really weird.
But because of her past and everything, it's just, honestly, she has the right team around her that's building things for her to push forward and be this multimillionaire / billionaire.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't give me money, because I already know what I'm about to do with it.
What are you going
to
do?
Oh, I'm going to go in a helicopter from like building to building. I'm going to rent out places for my friends just to eat.
Wow.
The whole thing? The whole thing. It's just like, hey, y'all want to have lunch? Boom. Let's get this whole mall. Let's do the mall.
I like
let's
how people,
do it in the mall.
People already have spending lists, like ignorant spending lists built in the back of their head.
Yeah.
Waiting for that day. Like when it comes, I'm like, just guess who's renting out a whole plane and we're going to watch a soccer game
in
Europe
and then come back in 2 hours because I have work the next day.
Yeah, but
I have it like that.
The helicopter thing, like that's, I almost want to learn to fly a helicopter because I heard Bill Burr on his Monday morning podcast talk about how like he's getting his helicopter license, and he was just like, yeah, you just, because you can land them anywhere, so like you just like take off from somebody's yard and like go down to San Diego in like 45 minutes.
Shit is fly.
I know,
I'm definitely going to do that.
Although you hear about accidents.
And then you die.
Didn't JFK's
he was in a plane.
Oh, it was a plane.
But it was also some hobbyist shit where he was like, it was a small plane where he was trying to fly above his pay grade. Like, he didn't.
Oh.
He had, like, I think they said, like, too few hours behind in the cockpit to fly in the conditions he was trying to fly in.
Got you.
What is a myth, finally? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I think it's, LA people are happy.
Okay.
They are not. I've been going to shows and I'm like, oh, this feels like Williamsburg. What's going on?
What do you mean? What do you just elaborate for us?
Being in New York, there's this perception that's like LA is so happy go lucky. Everyone is just having backyards and,
And
the air is great and everybody's
making California.
Money.
It's that, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just y'all be high and that's it. Yeah, that's all it is. But y'all are sad as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're living in your cars and y'all still have roommates. You live in a whole home with roommates and not like an apartment.
Right.
But y'all thugging it out, slugging it out, slumming it out like the New Yorkers too.
Yeah.
Y'all just don't have rats as big as horses. That's it. That's
all it is. Yeah. There is some, I think, I mean, in some senses, LA is probably the saddest city because this is where dreams die. You know what I mean?
That's true.
A lot of dreams die here.
Dreams die here?
Dreams die here. They drive in New York.
You've only been here 9 days.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's how many of those people you saw at Runyon who are actually working in the industry.
Right.
And are still up there like, oh, I got to go to Runyon because you never know. You might see somebody. I'm like, and what do you do? Like, I'm late for my P.F. Chang shift.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But it's like, you know, no shade. It's just an industry, you know, like the media has conditioned people to be like, you get to a certain point, L.A., you come out here, boom, snap the finger. Your dreams come true or whatever, and there's not, people don't realize this sort of, especially with comedy, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't understand how much of an time investment that is and how much of a real grind that is, rather than sort of like, oh yeah, I get a couple viral videos and next thing you know, check out my series getting ordered. That happens.
That happens.
But a lot of people right. put in work, but a lot of people have to put in real, real work.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I wouldn't move to LA unless I booked something. I'm not coming here to just wing it.
Figure
this
it
is
out.
Not right, the place right. to wing it. Yeah. Dude, New York, you can make it there.
It's a great place to get strung along and Ooh. Without like having anything actually happen.
Yeah. Ooh.
Like I know some really talented comedians who just like got development deals here or there and like never had any shit come out
and
like
flames out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you then oh man.
Yeah.
Way to bring the mood down, guys.
Hey, it's LA.
Jeez, this is my ninth day here.
It's just a warning. But you're funny. Okay. And you get it. I don't think you have a misconception of the work it puts in to succeed. I think a lot of people come here and not a lot of people, but many people do have this idea that it's much easier than it actually is to do anything.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Nothing is easy. Yeah. Everything is very complicated. And if you're making it in New York, trust me, you're a part of fraud. You're fucking people over. You probably killed somebody. Like, it's not that simple.
Right.
Good to know.
Yeah, and you are making it in New York, yeah, so that's good to know. We just learned something about you.
Yeah, so what are you into? What are you doing? I scam phone cards?
No, just podcasting. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the fact that the other governments of the advanced world care more about their citizens than ours do.
And what do you mean by this?
Okay, so there were two plane crashes over the past, I think, 6 months, maybe, past year.
A year, yeah.
Where a very specific Boeing 737 MAX 8, I think it's called, took off, got about 8 minutes into the climb into the skies. The plane started shuddering, smoking, and then just plummeted to earth, killing everybody on board. It happened in Ethiopia very recently, and then it happened about a year ago in Indonesia. So horrifying as all plane crashes are, but it seems like there might be something going on with this model of plane. And
right.
so China was immediately like, okay, well, we're not fucking with this plane. We're grounding this plane until we figure out what happened. The European Union yesterday or the day before came out and said, we're going to do the same. And the FAA and the United States said it's too soon to ground them because they don't have evidence yet. So it's not too soon to fly again until they know what happened. It's too soon
to jump to conclusions
about this plane that makes people a lot of money. And this is kind of a pattern. You know, there are a lot of foods that are illegal in Europe and that I put in my body on a very regular basis because they are perfectly legal here in the United States. Mountain Dew is one of them that I know is going to kill me at one point.
It's illegal out there?
Yeah, it's illegal.
Or what's in it?
Yellow dye number 5 is illegal.
Oh, come on, man. You know.
Yeah.
You really like Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
Who didn't hug you as a child?
I lived in Kentucky for 3 years and I just got real into it.
Y'all have it by tap. That's kind of the
main beverage there. Right. Actually, there's probably a lot of people in Kentucky being like, we don't like it either, man. That was just you.
But like, don't blame us for your shitty addiction to Mountain Dew.
But like a lot of just food additives in our processed like cookies and crackers and shit are carcinogens, known carcinogens that are banned in Europe. And yeah, so I mean, this is just something like I've known about this ever since I studied like the FDA. And like the fact that the FDA is just the most overmatched like fraud of an organization because there's a huge multi-billion dollar, probably $1 trillion food industry out there that just, you know, it's in their interest to make sure that they don't get anything passed that's going to fuck with their money.
Yeah, fine. Great.
Yeah.
I feel great. You know, my arm goes numb a little bit after I eat Chips Ahoy.
Right.
But it is what it is.
How many Chips Ahoy are you eating?
Like 3 whole packages a day.
Yeah.
But the one thing about that plane is the argument from Boeing is like, well, you know, like in Ethiopia, Indonesia, I don't know what the pilot training is like.
Right.
None of the pilots in the U.S.-based airlines have had problems. I think a lot of it had to do with this like auto trim feature where they were saying like the pilots may have been fighting this like auto trim feature.
Yeah.
But then even a lot of the U.S. pilots were like, dude, if my plane starts doing that shit that early on, I might not have the frame of mind to actually begin to diagnose what could be happening.
Yeah.
And I could have just as easily found myself in the same position. But, you know, I think even the flight attendants union has been complaining, saying they don't, like, if these planes are going down, they definitely don't want to be on them. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And super producer Anna Hosnier brought to our attention that there is a app or a website where you can go to find out if you are booked on one of these planes.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a great app.
An app just made for that?
Yeah. Just to be like, are you on the death plane?
Oh, so, it's called Death Plane.
Yeah. I think. Death Plane, yep. I think, is what Boeing named it. No, but
it's called You Can't Use Them Frequent Flyer Miles in Hell.
Yeah, oh. It's on Seat Guru, which is a app I think we've talked about, or a website we've talked about before, where you can get in deep on like what kind of seats you have on this particular flight, and they will also let you know ahead of time if you are booked.
If you're gonna die.
Oh, yeah. So it's the one so you can know like what you're fucking with, the interior, right? So you know exactly. Oh, got you.
Well, I just want to let y'all know that's my biggest nightmare, being on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
And then it crashes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not because, you know, I don't want to die, but I just don't want to die with that many people, because then it's not special.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm on a list of people who died.
Right.
Yeah.
I want just me, you know?
Exactly. You want to be the reason for the party, not on the guest list.
Yes, exactly.
That's why the apocalypse really bums me out, is because nobody's there to mourn you.
Yeah.
We all just die? That's fucking bullshit,
no, thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I walk on a plane and I look around and I go, if this was a movie, this looks like a tragic grouping of people that we would all die.
Yeah.
And then I feed my own shit while I sit in the plane. I'm like, oh,
and no one would care either.
Yeah, and it's weird. And then I'm like, give me my Xanax.
Yeah,
right.
That's
do you want to go to a desert island purgatory like Lost?
Whatever, I'm down. I live in the valley, man. It's already like purgatory.
Yeah.
All right. So super producer Nick Stumpf, he directed our attention to some tweets from our dear president, who tweeted, airplanes are becoming far too complex to fly. Pilots are no longer needed, but rather computer scientists from MIT. I see it all the time in many products, always seeking to go one unnecessary step further, when often old and simpler is far better, like the wall. I just added that. split-second decisions are needed, and the complexity creates danger. All of this for great cost, yet very little gain. I don't know about you, but I don't want Albert Einstein to be my pilot. I want great flying professionals that are allowed to easily and quickly take control of a plane.
Albert Einstein? What the fuck is he talking about?
Because he's basically saying
MIT guy?
Planes are too fucking geeky, man.
Right.
I want a dude with a huge barrel chest.
Right.
And a fucking push broom
World
mustache.
World War II style.
With aviators on. Yeah, smoking a fucking cigar in the cockpit.
Right. You know, every other flight that took off in World War II just crashed.
Yeah,
killing
everybody. Don't worry.
On board.
Come on.
But that's cool. Super producer Anna Hosnier. We're going to have a super producer fest here because she is flying this Friday and was up all night worrying about this.
Yeah, so I went deep last night because I was like, oh, damn, I have to fly this weekend, and I'm flying abroad in April. So I was like, okay, I am not about to be on no Max whatever 8s, 737 Max 8s anytime soon. So I got in deep, and when I was reading about it, so I learned the same thing happened in Indonesia, which they actually had a very experienced pilot in Indonesia, and everyone was really losing their mind as to why he didn't read the maintenance things, because apparently Lion Air also very shady and they don't really, it's a whole thing. But basically what happens with this 737 Boeing Max 8 is it has this like automated feature, because all planes are like completely automated now.
Right.
You really have to take control of a plane if it's starting to lose its mind.
You need Albert Einstein to fly.
They're so complex, you know? And so what happens is, when you're flying in a plane, if you're the nose of the plane is going up too high, like it's pointed up at an angle that's just too high, and a wind will hit the sensors, which are on the side of the plane. And if the wind is hitting this plane and the nose is too high, that can cause the plane to stall, which is very bad. You don't want that happening.
Yeah.
I've
seen some terrifying planes that like go up too steep on the takeoff and then just fall backwards.
Yeah.
That is some scary shit. It's usually cargo planes that have something too heavy in the back.
Well, yeah, because all the weight shifts in the back.
Yeah.
So basically, the sensors on the side of the front of the plane, if they feel this air hitting it and that it's going to stall, it automatically, the engine in the back starts working to basically tip the nose to go down. So if you're going up too high, it'll automatically be like, oh, let's try and straighten that out. But then it'll straighten too hard and you'll start nose diving.
Right.
And so you basically have about 10 seconds to correct this because you're going like 400 miles per hour. So unfortunately, the Ethiopian pilots, they didn't feel were in that moment, in that panicked moment, able to do the four-step process, which is you click a bunch of buttons. I don't know exactly the details.
Right.
And then it turns off those back engines. So then you just like narrow out and not, you know, so hit the ground.
It does sound like it should just be more automated, like that they shouldn't have to do that shit.
Well,
like,
it just needs to be updated. And, right. and Boeing has come out saying we're updating that and coming out and releasing and then it'll fix everything. But, you know, these are... They're giant fucking machines that you should figure out before you sell. That's yeah. right. I'm losing my mind.
I don't know. I'm on Boeing's side, honestly. You know, they never did anything wrong by me. I've gotten everywhere I need to go. This yeah. sounds, you should have played that
but
conspiracy
it's also
music.
That airline or that air type of airplane is so popular because the cabin is quieter. You get a little bit more room in your seat. So it's probably one of the best selling airlines. And Southwest, for the most part, flies that airline. So be careful when you go on Southwest.
I know that.
Oh,
thank goodness.
I love yeah. Southwest. Please give me free flights.
American
out of
Airline has like two of them. Delta doesn't fly it at all. Air Canada flies a lot of them. So be careful, y'all. Look out for these airlines. Southwest out here putting your life at risk. But you knew that when you were flying Southwest. Just
absolutely.
Saying.
Also, what's funny is when Trump was in Vietnam, he was caping for these planes. Despite this last tweet, because Nick just showed me a link from Fortune magazine that just says Boeing secures $15.7 billion Vietnam orders during Trump's Hanoi visit for these 737 MAX planes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Two weeks ago. So good timing on that.
Like 100 of them.
It's a good plane if they just figure out this weird malfunction.
No. Then it's not a good plane.
No, it's not. It's not.
I guess in that sense, yeah.
It's a terrible plane.
But I mean, anybody who's like, these planes are getting too smart, we need to go back to the way it used to be, there hasn't been a fatal commercial plane crash in the U.S. in 10 years. Like,
but right. because U.S. does the checks, a lot of these other foreign countries... It's because it's kind of like, you're really strapped for resources.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that Lion Air one that crashed in Indonesia, every airport it stopped at, engineers had to work on it. So Lion Air was responsible. They needed to pull that plane off the goddamn road. But they were like, sorry, tickets are sold.
Oh,
we got to do
this.
Because as soon as you pull that plane off, you got to reimburse all those tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather live, though.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I know. We'll tell
Lion
Air
to all the airlines, hey, I don't need to take that L.
Yeah.
Right.
Just ground me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the airlines making the responsible decision in these other countries.
Sure.
It is the government stepping in and saying, hey, corporations, fuck off. We're going to make sure everything's okay before you take people's lives into your hands. But that's just not how the United States works.
At all.
United States is too worried about the almighty dollar. Am I right, guys?
One last thing. The thing that you're supposed to, you know, the like the wheel thing that holds a plane?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
another way to stop a plane from nosediving. Just yank it back.
The
that's
stick.
What they said. No, it's called a yonk or something like that. It makes no sense. But you just literally yank that back. But in your absolute panic, you're like,
yeah.
That's like what they
the
have
yolk.
To just be like,
the
yoke. There you go. The yoke. I'm stupid.
Yonk.
You just the yonk. The yoke ain't even
it.
Better.
You yank it.
You just, you're supposed to just pull that back and the plane goes, oh.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
If any pilots are listening, if you need to hit me up, you can tweet at me. I will.
No,
you
there's somebody in the Zeit gang who I think is like an aeronautics or aviation expert because they were in my mentions when I said that the A-wing was a bomber in Star Wars,
wow,
and there was a whole aeronautics argument in my mentions. So, sir,
yeah, you can explain this better.
Or
than
madam, whoever that was, please chime in because. I'm sure, I mean, I don't know if you know as much as Anna does, but...
No, right. I'm just reading New York Times articles at 2 a.m. and starting, like, hyperventilating.
<Fever dreams. laughs>
yeah.
The thing that made me feel so much better about plane crashes, because it is one of my biggest fears, is that if the engines cut out when you're, like, in the middle of a flight, your plane is designed so that it can just glide to the earth. And, like, that happens all the time.
Okay.
Not all the time. But,
glide to the earth and
yeah,
then
like
crash?
You what? No, no. And just like glide down like a hang glider. Like your plane is a hang glider, essentially.
Right.
Like,
it's built to
it's
still
built
use...
to just be able to glide even without engine propelling it.
Right.
See, but
what
brings
about
the tires
yeah.
out?
What brings the tires out?
Yeah. You just
the landing gear?
Yeah, the landing gear. Like you can, they can manually do that. You have plenty of time. Like it can glide for like hundreds of miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remember like in motherfucking Dunkirk. You know what I mean?
Right.
When Tom Hardy's like, I'm gliding it.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's where I learned most of my information.
That would happen in Flight?
Yeah.
That's the only
plane
movie I've seen.
Flight, he did some wild shit.
He did cocaine to bring it.
I was
going to
say.
Oh, that's pretty dope, though.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And we're back. And let's talk about... Donald Trump's golf game, you guys.
Yeah, just quickly.
Famous cheater.
Yeah, we don't have to get too into it, but I just saw a headline that just said, Donald Trump won a golf tournament he didn't even play in.
That's right.
I was like, of course he fucking did. And what happened was, if you go to Mar-a-Lago, apparently under like the Donald Trump's like winning tournaments, like it has all the years, it said that he won the 2018 men's golf tournament at Mar-a-Lago. Was he
2018?
President? Yeah, was he president that year?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he play in that? No. Then what the fuck happened? Well, originally, a member named Ted Virtue, great name, won the tournament. But then Trump found him at the country club and basically said, this is according to multiple sources, Trump pulled up and just said something to the effect of, the only reason you won is because I couldn't play. And then said, here's the deal. Let's do a 9-hole challenge. Winner takes all. And Ted Virtue is like, what am I going to say? No.
No to the president?
Yeah. And he's already, like, you know, he's in MAGA world if he's a member there. So he's probably fucking so excited. Played the 9 holes, lost. And so now Trump is the co-champion of the tournament.
And these are 9 holes that Trump plays all the time.
All the time.
Golf course,
so. Yeah, it's his fucking golf
course. I
mean,
that's on Ted Virtue, man. You had a lot riding on you. Your name is Ted Virtue. Like, you should be defeating Donald Trump.
Be virtuous.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, he lost. You should have just said, look, what's mine is mine. You should have been here, and you would have won.
All right. Let's...
Donald has the gift of gab. Like, he talks buku shit, and people are always like, well, I'm going to beat Donald Trump at the thing that he is great at.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. Like,
no. Side note, though, this guy, of course, was part of the production team for the movie Green Book.
Oh, nice.
And there's a photo of him on stage at the Academy Awards. That's him. He was on stage at the Academy Awards when Green Book won the Best Picture. So, of course, some
Mar-a-Lago
golf tournament winning dude was behind Green Book also.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's talk about people who are worse at cheating, who managed to get caught cheating in a way that people, I assumed everybody was cheating based on my experience.
Of what, getting into college?
Of the people that I went to college with. So, there is an admission scam that has been exposed featuring a gentleman by the name of Rick Singer. Scam God, man. This guy was really doing it.
He set it up.
Yeah.
He set the whole thing up.
Yeah.
He had a nonprofit, a phony nonprofit, and he'd go around to the wealthy and be like, look, I can get your kid into fucking any school, basically.
Yeah.
For a price.
Yes.
Now what you do, you pay my nonprofit, you know, whatever the fee is. And then I use that money to then go bribe school officials or proctors of the SAT or ACT test to get your kid into the college of their dreams.
Right.
And you get to write it off at the end of the year because it's a charitable donation.
And how long has he been doing it?
For years. It's been a few years now.
Yeah.
I mean, but the latest batch that the IRS and FBI uncovered is dealing with mostly kids that are still in the schools right now.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Scandal.
There are kids going to class today who have this shit on the front page of all the newspapers, and they're just being exposed.
They said they arrested like 33 parents from some school officials, some coaches.
Aunt Becky,
yeah, Lori Loughlin from Full House, and her husband Massimo, the guy who started Massimo Clothes.
Damn.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, their daughter went to USC, fucking bought her way in.
Yep.
Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy's daughter, bought their way in.
But my thing is like, you bribe the school, right?
Okay,
but if if your child is not that good at school, how can they maintain?
Right. Well, here's the deal. Okay, so it worked two ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
One was the academic scam.
Right.
So they would be like, look, my kid's grades aren't good enough. I don't know how they're going to get into Yale.
Right.
And they said, this
is
what you do.
He's a fucking idiot.
I know.
Have you seen these SAT scores?
I have a plan.
Okay.
I'm Rick Singer, baby.
Okay.
Pull your kid out of high school, enroll them in an online school, and I'll have someone else take all the course for them so the kid has straight A's going into the application.
Fuck out of here.
Or if they have regular grades, but their ACT or SAT scores are fucked up, he says, okay, what you need to do is get your child an ADHD diagnosis so they can then take the test sort of isolated and for a lot longer time. They can take their time on it, in which I already have proctors paid off who do those specific tests, who after the kid is done with the test, they will just correct it.
So they had the SAT, ACT proctors.
On the payroll.
On the payroll.
Yeah.
And they would just would erase the answers that the dumb rich kid put in.
Right.
And put in the right answers.
Yes.
And then that kid would get a good score on his SAT.
Whatever, but and it was almost like to order. They'd be like, okay, do you want it like near perfect? You know, because you don't want to get too much scrutiny.
Right.
Or do you want to do just underneath so it sounds super smart?
Right.
And they could basically pick the score they wanted.
Yeah.
I just want to say shout out to Rick, okay? Because I wouldn't even have thought of anything like that.
Right.
You have to be, he's low-key Billy McFarlane, yo.
Yeah.
Shout out to these dudes just scamming their way through.
Exactly.
Blue collar crimes.
Yes.
Doing
white
it.
Collar, white,
white
collar. Yes.
White collar, right. And the thing is just like school is a scam too. Let's get into it.
Oh,
like
this whole
college is a sham-o-wham.
It's in the sense that they've made it so hard for anyone to get in that it's just become this unattainable thing.
Yep.
I think education is a good thing. But yeah, in the way that they sort of frame it as like you need to go into crippling debt to achieve this degree.
Is college a good thing? Because, yeah, you get all this information. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to, whatever your major is when you get out of college, you're not going to do that.
I think it all depends on, I think it's not for everyone, right?
Right.
I think that very specifically there are, I certainly benefited from going to college. I wanted to go.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. But okay. I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I also know I have a degree in history. I'm not using that shit aside from dropping weird references on this show. In the end, is it worth being in debt your whole life?
No.
Right.
I don't know. I can't argue that.
But this is basically a more like bald-faced, like fraudulent version of a thing that happens all the time. Like people get into these schools based on legacy, like based on the fact that their parents went there. That like doesn't make any sense.
Or their grandparents built a building there.
Yeah. It's just...
No, hold on. My grandparent put a building... in a school, I'm going to the motherfucking school.
For sure.
Don't you dare do that.
And that's
to me.
What it used to be. So that's what a lot of these people are saying. There's a difference, right? A lot of people, it used to be like, just make an outrageous donation to the school, and there's a little more quid pro quo.
Oh, it's still like
that.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
versus this is outright fraud and bribery.
Yeah.
So another way was the athletic track. So coaches, they have their allotment of people they can recruit to bring
hilarious.
In the school.
Yes.
And so other times they can be like, look, I might be able to get your kid on the Yale soccer team as a weigh-in because the grades aren't that good. And they're like,
wait, but my kid has never even played soccer.
Yeah, that's all good because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stage a photo
shoot.
Well,
first of all, this is soccer. Yeah. So
here's the thing.
Not that high.
He would stage photo shoots to make it look like this kid was a real legit recruit. Or if the kid was uncoordinated, they would just straight Photoshop the face onto shit and then submit that so when it looked like a legitimate recruit. They're like, oh, look at these accolades and committing like that fraud.
Yeah, then, so it turns out you can bribe the Yale soccer coach with like a payment of $500,000.
Yeah,
and he's going to be like, welcome to Yale.
Yeah.
But it's Yale, though. Like, I feel like half of it is our fault in terms of thinking like, oh, these prestigious universities is the way to go.
Right.
Sure. You are the creme de la creme of when you graduate, you should be able to get whatever job you want. And it's just like, that's not how life is set up.
Right.
I think it's just because the culture of these specific parent groups are like, well, our kid has to go to Yale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they live in that world where if you don't go to Yale, you're not shit.
But yes, we do it on the parents, but also society too.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And we get mad at the whole system, but it's just like, y'all made the Kardashians hot, so don't be mad when the scams get scammed. don't be mad. It's all us.
Right, we've built it up to the point where now parents are like, by any means necessary, I have to get this child in.
Right, and Aunt Becky's daughter, once she got into USC, like got on her, she's an influencer, you guys, and she got on her thing and on her social media thing and was having a conversation. I don't know what outlet it was, but I think it was YouTube and was like, you know, I don't like school guys, but I think it's going to be like fun that I get to go to games, but I don't really plan on attending classes. So
yeah,
she just like,
is that a character or that?
No,
she
that
dead
is
ass
her.
That was her.
She's dead ass serious.
And she's like, I just want to be
she's
able to like live
mom,
that life.
Yeah. So
of someone who went to college, she wants to do the version of college they see on TV.
Where
there's no studying.
But this is such a, like, I'd say one of the biggest wasted resources in all of America. Like, we're supposed to have this meritocracy, and there's so much time and energy being spent on rich people trying to get their kids to, like, have good lives.
Right.
You know, just be like, it's like your kid just doesn't want to do shit. Like, they're You waste it. You're ruined.
Yeah, like, you're trying to push this kid in a direction that's not going to go.
It's just not going to happen, man.
I will say this, especially with, like, the SATs and just, like, the tests and then going to college. Like, it's not a system based on, like, intelligence.
No,
for sure.
At all.
Right. Yeah, so, it's all based on, like, if you're a good test taker and so also who your parents are.
The system is flawed as it is. Like,
right.
I don't know. I went to college and I'm really hard at, like, memorizing things and just understanding stuff, and I didn't do well. And,
right.
and it was frustrating because I would try to apply myself, and then I became depressed because it's like, am I stupid?
Right.
Am I not worthy of being here? And, you know, look where I am now, a comedian.
Yeah, well, I think it helps you sort of realize things too in the process. I guess for you, even, right, you sort of realize, you're like, this whole academia thing I've been sold, like, for what?
Yeah, and there's a whole cottage industry that I think Robert Evans is going to do a story on, but we interviewed a bunch of kids when I was back at Cracked. There was, like, a bunch of these kids who were basically writers for hire. They would write your college paper for you.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, that's what these kids do once they get in.
Right,
like,
right.
They just pay kids to, like, do the
schoolwork. And then they become politicians
right.
who then have all existed in a world where they don't need to do anything. They can buy their way out of anything. They're in a consequence-free world, and then they start robbing the working people, and then look at where we are. I could keep going, y'all. This is the conspiracy.
But there are those moments when you see a politician, and you're like, wait, this person can't be that dumb. They just looked dumb. They just
looked dumb. He went to Yale.
Right.
And they're like,
just looked dumb in that moment. No. Nope.
Yeah.
There are ways.
Yeah. And I guess also, too, so, like, when you look at it, people were paying from anywhere from $200,000 to $6.5 million to get these kids in. And they were saying at the press conference today, there were some parents who didn't want the kids to know that they were fucking pulling the strings behind their back. And they said they have other instances where the kids very much knew what was going on and what they had to do to get in.
Yo, could you imagine if you, like, found, you thought you got that score on the SATs on
your own? You thought.
And then you're just
finding out
in the paper today?
There's no way. You know if you're good at test taking.
Right.
You just know that.
But also, I know there are people who have been encouraged their whole life to a point where they think they are much more capable than they are. And I'm sure there's a sliver of people who are like,
Yeah, let's talk about it, white men.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
All
right, guys,
test.
Come on now. Wait a second here. Uh-oh. We get a bad rap.
I studied really hard on my SATs.
Right.
And yeah, all my family went to the same college.
Right. Yes. And lacrosse is a real sport. Right.
Oh, my God.
Hillbilly
hockey. Georgetown, where I went, is also tied up in this, and
and
lacrosse is the, like, cool sport there.
It's Stop it!
It's so whack.
I'm glad I went to one of these schools that was good enough for people to scam their way into.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the USC part doesn't surprise me at all because, like, for rich people in Los Angeles, like, that's sort of like the. Of course, you just go to USC. Like, if you're not really serious about anything, you'd be like, yeah, of course, I'm gonna go to USC, dude. It's fucking sick.
Right.
Well, that's what I mean with all the other conservative kids in LA.
Yeah.
But it's all about titles. It's all about status. And we drag it, but it's a thing.
Yeah,
and,
no, absolutely right.
And everybody can say what they want because they're in one level. But imagine when you get money. Imagine if you're at that part in your life where you're like, I could pay for my kid to get into this school the wrong way.
Right.
Right.
If you're that type of parent, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, your kid never had to sell Girl Scout cookies and it was pretty low and you were like, all right, I'm just going to buy all these boxes of cookies.
Right. Help
my
self-esteem.
Yeah.
Right.
It starts there.
But that's
it starts there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Just let your kids take the L early.
You got to let your kids fail, though.
Yeah.
I think that's true, man.
Oh, hell
yeah.
Like, if my parents have to do it, there's no fucking way. My mom wouldn't even turn the air conditioning on. You know what I mean? And I was sweating in the house. I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway, but the thing that we still don't know is what the schools are going to do with these kids that are still enrolled.
What they going to do?
And then that's where I'm like, ugh.
And are they going to return the money? Hello, that's what I want
to
know.
Well, but it's not many of the schools, even the FBI, they tried to make sure that, like, there were no administrators involved, and it seemed like it was purely just these coaches and these proctors, and only at one case, USC, where an administrator was also caught up and took bribes.
Those administrators are involved. There's
still investigating, so we don't know the full extent yet, but from what they have so far and the charges they made, they could only find these people culpable. But I am curious, though, like, I mean, it sucks for the kids, especially if they didn't know. Yeah. But at the same time, it seems like you have plenty of resources that this won't fuck up your life trajectory.
This is it's so embarrassing, though.
Yeah.
Mm. It's fucking embarrassing. And at that age, stuff like that is like, it feels like the end of the world. It's how am I going to move forward on this?
Right.
Because then it's all on social media. Your name is all up and through the blogs.
Yeah.
It's rough.
At least Aunt Becky's daughter was like, fuck that. I don't do school. Like, so she's owning it already, even before this happens. So
I know. I'm going on.
I feel bad for William H. Macy's kid who, like, who knows? Maybe they're like, yeah, I'm smart. And then.
I'm going on her IG. Does she have any? What's her stories right now?
Oh, my God.
Nope.
Mm-mm. It's probably.
Bury your head in the
sand. Is it blocked?
No.
Is it private?
Her Olivia Jade's Instagram is wide open, but she hasn't posted since the end of February.
How many followers she got?
She's got 1.3 million
Yikes.
Followers.
Influencer.
And you too can cheat your way through an education.
Oh my God.
All right, guys, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and they've updated the Bible for millennials.
Thank God.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever, I think the dumbest story we've
ever. Really?
It's up there.
It makes, it's just in line with everything I see, right? It's just like, we got to update this thing, but for millennials. It was only a matter of time that it's like, the Bible.
Right.
It's not tight enough for the youth them. And we need them to turn up in the name of salvation.
Right.
There's a guy named Brian Chung. He teamed up with another guy named Brian Chung he met in college.
Really?
True stories. Wow. Dude met someone his exact same name. And they were saying, like, you know, they were involved in, like, campus ministry, and they saw, like, when the Bible came out, people just kind of, like, flipped through it, and it's, like, the same old tired text and just layout, and they're like, this ain't it. So Brian Chung says, we want these books to be true and relevant to millennials. We're all on our iPhones, but we also respond really well to visual imagery, and so it has to really grasp our attention, and if it does, it can change the way we think. So he applied that to the good book. And I mean, he's not wrong in the sense that, because the, you know, young people's interest in religion is just increasingly becoming, it's diminishing rapidly. They said between, like, there's a Pew Research Center religious landscape study from 2015 that said young adults born between 81 and 96 are much less likely than older Americans to attend religious services or pray. They also found that last year, or in 2014, 35% of Americans consider themselves nuns or nothing, N-O-N-E-S, or atheists or agnostics. And almost half of that 35% are millennials.
Right.
So this was in 86, there was only 10% of young adults who said they don't affiliate with any religion. So it's kind of, you know, it's on a rise. And it's all religions. It's not just Christianity. But this, apparently this book, though, is selling well.
Oh, like, really?
You can't get, I mean, Psalms, you can't get that shit.
Right.
Also, the Gospel of John, either.
So each book of the Bible is made to look like a, like, hipster zine.
Basically. It looks like Hype Beast.
Right.
Mixed with.
I'm trying to think of the magazine I've seen that looks exactly like this.
It's like a lot of, you know, art magazines are sort of laid out very minimally. Yeah. With, like, really just simple layout. It's very slick looking.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. They probably have a future in zine design.
But yeah, they're
good for you.
The sales, they're growing, and demand is also growing. They said last year they sold 10,000 Bibles, made 300,000 in sales, and they believe they're going to triple their sales in 2019.
Look, we've always said here on the Daily Zeitgeist that Christ is lit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so blasphemous. I can't. Like, I'm not even a religious person,
right,
but it shouldn't be that accessible.
It seems weird. Yeah, because, like, to profit off of it too.
Come on now.
I mean, yeah.
That's not God's plan.
No, ask Drake. He was not handing out slick versions of the Bible.
No, it was not.
You know, I guess if it can help, then, you know, great. I mean, I have, you know, religious people in my life who live the right way. But you know what? They saw the Bible for what it was. They didn't need flashy pictures.
No, they don't. And I just feel like if you want to be religious, you have to put in the work. It shouldn't be that easy.
Right.
it shouldn't be all glamorous.
Yeah, and I think their whole point is that they just feel like if as long as the first step is to make something that will even get somebody to bother to read the scripture itself.
Right.
And then go from there. Some of the reviews on Amazon, some guy was like, if you like photography and Jesus, this book is for you. Because it's the photographs are nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know. I think, yeah, that's true. Like, to actually have faith is a little bit more than just sort of being drawn in by, you know, a good marketing materials.
Yeah, but I will say the word is by word of mouth. You know, who's really reading the Bible? You hear one person say some shit on the scripture, you're like, oh, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And then you pass it on and it's right. All watered down.
Oral tradition as
yeah,
opposed to...
like that's how it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. But they do say right now their largest customer demographics are in Singapore, Australia, Canada, and England.
Mm, international.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they say people are just kind of buying this coffee table book. So people might just actually be like being like,
right,
like jokingly
right.
Being like, yo, you see
more
this
of an ironic
really
version.
Slick version, like Annie Leibovitz shot version of
no!
Luke.
No. Yeah. That's awful.
We should buy one for the office.
Well, from the good book to the really good book, let's talk about the Mueller report, you guys, because they're taking pre-orders on Amazon. We've talked about this, that they have pages up on Amazon. One is Skyhorse Publishing has a page up that looks exactly like the 9/11 report.
And the Ken Starr report.
And the Ken Starr report. Like, they have the design done exactly the same. And it's a bestseller on Amazon already. Washington Post has their version. So the Skyhorse Publishing one is Alan Dershowitz is going to write the introduction, and then they're planning to publish the Mueller report. Keeping in mind that we don't even know if they're going to be able to publish the Mueller report.
Yeah, and
or
at
what
first,
the AG is going to.
We thought it was a scam.
Yeah.
Because we're like, what the fuck? How is, like, there's no way the Washington Post is already doing this. But I guess the thirst for Trump related books is so intense that it, like, everyone's trying to profit. And this is like the one way to get a Trump adjacent book that's going to be just something that's like publicly distributed. So they don't need somebody who like defects from like being in the administration to write like a, you know, the T report.
Yeah.
But this is like now. So yeah. So it's legitimately the Washington Post just basically saying once it comes out, we're putting it in a book form and you're going to get your copy.
Right.
But again, we don't know when this investigation is ending. We don't know when the report is actually going to be submitted to DOJ or if it's even going to be made public.
Yeah, the mainstream media is continuing to just kind of write and report as though it's about to drop like any day now.
Right.
But it's not, I don't know. I guess there have been a couple of little like pieces of evidence, like people who work on Mueller's team saying they're going to go back to work.
Yeah.
But it's still an incredibly short investigation compared to past special counsel investigations. The average length for a special counsel investigation is 904 days. Whitewater, the Clinton Lewinsky that became the Lewinsky scandal, took 2,978 days, which is over eight years. Iran-Contra took over 2,000 days. And we're currently at 663 days. We're under the average length of a special counsel investigation. And this would, there's been way more indictments coming out of this one.
Well,
and
I think because there's
way
this
more
is a,
shit to uncover.
It's a stupider scam. Like, look right. at everybody who's involved. Like, they weren't even slick about like right. anything they're doing. Like, Eric Prince got pressed on Al Jazeera by Mehdi Hassan.
Yeah,
and
we
was
gotta
like,
talk about that.
He was so bumbling. He was like, my man, I'm looking at the transcript right now. You actually lied to Congress and said you had no contact with these people. He's like, yet we know you were in the Seychelles. You just told me you were there meeting with
right.
the Emiratis. He's like, oh, huh, I think they got the transcript wrong.
And yeah.
Like, bro, this is...
There was like audible groans from everywhere yeah. in the audience.
That happened to Little Kim, didn't it? When she went to jail for one of her peoples. They said that she didn't know them, but then she was caught on camera with them. And it was like...
Come on, Lil' Kim.
This is so long ago, but I remembered. I'm like,
oh, is that why? Because she went in for a little bit?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think she went in for Lil' C's or something like that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, TBT, guys. Yeah. TBT.
I know
bringing
you heard me on the radio. True. but, I mean, yeah, good for you. Good for them holding each other down. But, yeah, I think it's just...
The New York Times, even like Michael Barbaro on... whatever that podcast is called, was talking. He's talking about it like it's an especially long one. He's like, and this investigation has gone on for years now. Like, okay, what's
technically
right? And it's like, yeah, but that's how long these go, oh, man. Yeah. Like, and you're making it seem like that is completely a conservative talking point. Like, they've been saying this since like month 10 that, like, yeah, well, we got to wrap this up. We got to wrap this up. And like, I just feel like they, like, the conservative side of the media got everybody, like, got the tempo sped up enough that people are like, yeah, when's this report coming?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it doesn't really make sense, man. There's a lot of shit to uncover, and we're not even close to the fucking average length of a special counsel's investigation. Yeah,
and people's expectations around it, it's like QAnon for liberals.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're hoping this book is just going to blow Trump's scalp off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, I think there's a little bit more to go on than QAnon, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, no, in the sense that this is like a singular moment that could, you know, that change everything, and we'll remove Trump from office, and then the nightmare will be slightly over.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think
that's not going to happen.
A lot of this enthusiasm around it, I think, it's based in that. That's why even for us, when we talk about it, we're like, I'm not really expecting this thing to be the be-all, end-all. I'm sure it's going to put things out there that we're going to have hear explanations about, but I'm not personally putting all my eggs in this basket to be like, oh, please come through with the Mueller report.
Finally.
Yeah.
Solve all our problems. Both pages have the report at 960 pages. And they both have it dropping on March 26th. So I think they're just copying off of each other,
right,
speaking of cheating in school.
I think Drake is going to drop an album, too, around the same
time. Ooh. Right. That'd be huge.
And then Beyonce. Mm.
Oh, wow, that's what the Mueller report is?
Yeah.
Actually, it's a Beyonce album? She has that kind of power.
She that's great promo
she
right
let,
there,
yeah, she
actually
couldn't let Solange cook for that long.
Well, Sydney, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you online?
You know, my Twitter is a work in progress, but okay, if you want to see the growth, it's coming along. Find me on Twitter at JustSydNYC. That's JustSydNYC. I'm on the Instagrams. That's popping, you know?
Okay.
If you like photos.
Okay, there you go.
If you like the new Bible,
yeah,
right? Go to my Instagram.
You should put verses next to your Runyon photos.
I should. I should start over.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, don't start over. You just, start reposting stuff with that.
Right. Find me on Instagram at JustSydBW. So that's JustSydBW. And I have a podcast on Forever Dog called The Unofficial Expert with mm-hmm. Marie Faustin. It's so fun. You should listen.
It's very good.
Yeah, it is. It's delightful and messy.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I'm so narcissistic, so we just gonna go with one of my tweets.
There you go.
To show you what I'm doing with my social medias. It got a lot of heat, but I'm gonna stick to it. It's Pete Davidson is a constant reminder to just be yourself if you're a man.
That was very good.
It was a good one. And it was no shade to Pete. I think he's awesome. But it just shows you that, like, a man can basically say, hey, I want to die, and, like, also look tired. And he's still getting bad bitches left and right.
Right, yeah. Right.
He's courtside thriving.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, if with women being honest, like, oh, she's hysterical, and come on, what's going on?
No. It's like, when's the last time you seen a woman have a full-on meltdown, like, right, on social media, and then get some long dick after that? It's not happening.
I mean, Amanda Bynes was asking Drake to murder her downstairs.
My gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Did she get it, though?
No, but that's precisely, yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean, though.
She definitely didn't.
Yeah. She looks good now, though.
Yeah, well, it took some time.
Yeah, it did.
It wasn't right after.
No, it wasn't.
It was like soon as she was talking about, oh, she's a little gay now, it just got, reckless with Amanda.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were worried.
Yeah. Mm. It's a tough time for us all.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A couple tweets I like. Let's see. Oh, one is this from Jamie Loftus. She goes, why is this Don Cheadle's Wikipedia pick? And I guess this is Don Cheadle's Wikipedia pick.
That's
the worst fucking. Don't do Don like that. He looks so unsure that
looks
he's
like
even
he
Don
took
Cheadle.
His picture for the Wikipedia page.
Right.
Like he was like, oh, they need a headshot of me.
Miles, I have a question.
Yes.
You're doing pretty well on Twitter. Just to throw it out there. Have you deleted tweets?
No.
Mm.
Why?
Your tweets are just so low for the amount of followers.
Oh, I don't tweet a lot.
Oh, yeah. So you're just famous?
That's off the strength of this podcast.
What?
That's right. Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Hey, are you guys looking for another call?
There you go. Yeah. Don't worry. No, the Zeitgang's going to pull up. Don't worry. Yeah. Wait to see that follower count go up.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
And Zeitgang, please pull up and follow Sydney on all her things. Because she's looking at me like I'm buying fucking followers over here.
Huh.
What the fuck was that?
It's just.
Hey, you deleting tweets? Fuck out of here. Deleting tweets.
I do it on your own podcast. I drag you on your own.
I like
stuff.
It. No, I appreciate it. But no. That's just off the strength of this second rate podcast.
I love it.
I'm going to just do that one.
Okay.
So that's that. Because I just could not believe the face of Don Cheadle. It really looks like he doesn't even believe he's Don Cheadle in the image. So.
Yeah, he's going through it. I feel like he's going through something. But also, like, men age weirdly sometimes. Like, it's either you're like, oh my God, you're George Clooney, or you're Steve Buscemi. So.
Right. Or Pharrell.
Man,
or
this
Pharrell.
Is the second time you have dragged Steve Buscemi
he's
aging.
He's the nicest guy ever. He
sounds
tips
like
well. He, you know, he's kind.
Oh,
he's,
have you been on the receiving end of a
yes,
Buscemi
I
tip?
Yes, I have. I have. Not his tip. Hello.
No, I never died.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
But I've served him several times, and he's like one of the best celebrities to wait on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm not going to say he doesn't look like he's melting when I see him in person.
Right.
I'm not going to pretend.
It's not like
I love
he was
Buscemi.
Like a great looking dude as
no,
a young
but
man.
No, no, no.
But
actually,
that was his
no,
niche.
He was kind of cool.
When he was a firefighter?
He was, no.
Okay.
Don't get his TPTs.
Okay. I will. I will check it out.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's some cool. He looks like a handsome Steve-O.
Looking like a young Buscemi.
He was young for a little bit, and then all of a sudden just rapid boom.
Yeah.
Looks 55 when he was like 23.
But
that's
that was
what
his
us
niche,
whites
you know?
Do.
That's yeah.
You just fall off a cliff.
It depends sometimes, yeah. Unless you made a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Right.
Whites age badly.
you said it.
I did.
That is Jack_O'Brien on Twitter.
That's right.
Blood is mentioned.
You can follow me at that, Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Manuclear Bomb.
Okay.
Tweeted screen caps of a headline that says, "Library cat outlasts councilman that wanted him gone." And then, "Beloved cat will keep his job at the local library after international backlash." And he said, "You come with the king, you best not miss." Which is true. Don't fuck with that cat.
Wait, can I? There's one more tweet that I want to. It's not mine.
Yes.
Because I was like, that's kind of rude.
No.
Okay, so Cole Escola wrote, "While my peeps were in college, I was prostituting myself on Craigslist to pay my rent. While I had a show on Logo, why is my caps lock on?" It's funny. I didn't say it right, but it's so funny.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, we see these people in college, but like, there's some of us that were doing shadier shit.
Well,
right.
Just whatever
right.
You got to do.
Yeah.
Financial, yeah, you have certain options financially.
And At The Hill tweeted about a story we'll probably get into, but a new app lets conservatives label restaurants as, quote, safe spaces for pro-Trump guests. And at Silky Jumbo tweeted, "Green Book, the sequel."
I love Shalewa. She's,
yeah, she's
amazing.
Great.
She's so good.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. We post our episodes and our footnotes where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from a songwriter, singer from South London. This is just the first track I've heard from her. Her name is Ego Ella May.
Ooh.
And it's just like, yo, she's a great singer. It's like, it's on that neo soul vibe. And the band playing with her too is, woo. Every person, whether it's the person on electric piano, bass, drums, like everyone is, they're bringing it. So I was very surprised when I heard this and I was like, I want to hear more from this artist. Only one song out now, and it's this one from Ego Ella May, and it's called Table for One.
All right, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then.